American Soccer Show on World Football Day.
Welcome to a new episode of the Mexican Soccer Show, the first of 2014, where we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to just look ahead to the new year from a Mexican football perspective. We're going to go over the national team. Obviously, there's a little event going on down in Brazil this summer. We'll have a look at the Liga MX, what we can expect from that. The Copa Libertadores, with three Mexican teams involved. And the CONCACAF Champions League. I'm Tom Marshall, at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. With me today, co-hosts Naib Moran, over there in Madrid. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Tom, over here in Madrid, in Spain. I send from the get-go best wishes in 2014 to you, to Johnny, to Eric, and to all of our listeners, and hope for the best in 2014. I think, in the World Cup, each team has the right to dream that their team is going to do the best, and let us hope that Mexico does a decent performance, way better compared to the 2013 Confederations fiasco.
Definitely. And Johnny Rico, San Diego. How's it going, Johnny? Happy New Year.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year to everyone. I'm just excited for a new season of Liga MX, which starts off tomorrow, Friday. Hopefully America can improve on that runners-up finish, take that number 12 championship this season.
Good stuff. So you've not changed from one year to the next about the about America, Johnny?
No, and I'm really excited about what Antonio El Turco Mohamed could do with this America side. As soon as the rumors even started hitting about Miguel Piojo Herrera taking over the national team, I considered Mohamed to be the number one option if it were to happen that Piojo would leave. And, Piojo ended up leaving and Mohamed ended up coming to take over. So I'm very excited about what he can bring to the team. I got to see America in their one and only preseason friendly when they took on Tijuana Cholos in Los Angeles. And, he's not going to be changing much too fast. So, we're going to see that America consistency that we've seen over 2013. So I kind of like that. He's very, very smart about what changes he is going to make. So, big season coming up for America.
Definitely. All right. I'll start off with the national team. And just to kind of link it in there to America and that final against Leon. I mean, I think one of the big things for me going into the World Cup year with Miguel Herrera, obviously he did a good job against New Zealand. I thought it was a bit embarrassing after the final, the way he talked about the referee and the way he basically told the media that they don't do much work and that, he knows more about refereeing decisions. He had a real go in that final press conference, and I thought it was a bit needless considering, America had been just so good over 2013. And, slightly worried that on the world stage, I mean, Herrera, you got to applaud his enthusiasm and, his energy on the touchline. But he does have a tendency to go over the top. And I don't know if you two agree, but I think him getting the tone right, setting the tone so it's, there's an intensity, but he doesn't overstep that mark. I think there's a potential in this World Cup where he's going to make world headlines the world over because of saying something a bit out of order. What's your take on that?
Well, I think one of the characteristics of Miguel Piojo Herrera is that he, he's this figure that has won a lot of, attention and a lot of popularity because of his naturalness. And I think there's nothing about Piojo that is false. I think you see Piojo and the way that he expresses himself, sometimes funny, sometimes out of proportion, like it was after the final with his interpretations of the referee decisions. They can go out of hand, and he noticed it, and the next days he apologized, publicly. But I think there's that sense of Piojo, that naturalness that, I think wins a lot of, attention from the Mexico fans. And I think a good proportion of the Mexico fans like that. you know, they want their coach to be fiery, you know, to go out of proportion with how he, you know, sees the game itself. And I won't say I agree or I applaud Piojo going with that, acting like that, but I like his naturalness. And I think, for example, today, this Thursday, January 2nd, you know, he's already talking to the media openly in radio. You know, that was unthinkable with Chepo de la Torre in 2013. So, I mean, I sort of see that courteousness from Piojo, and I applaud that. You know, the flaw, I think he has to fix it because he will be, the world's eyes will be on him. But I think, you know, it's stuff that he can fix.
Yeah, I can just imagine, you know, like in England and places like that, you know, I think it's something to watch out for this year. I think he could make a good few headlines outside of Mexico as well. Johnny, Carlos Vela, I mean, it's just seems like we're a broken record about this subject, and people who follow Mexican national team, you know, Carlos Vela is banging these goals in, playing really well for Real Sociedad. I mean, for me, I don't know if you agree or what you think, but I think this situation now needs to be sorted out as soon as possible. I think we need a Vela who's going to go to the national team, give absolutely 100%, you know, get on with everybody, not cause a fuss, or we need him out of the reckoning. What do you think?
Well, it's a very gray area. Everybody's entitled to their opinions, but at the end of the day, it's only going to be Miguel Herrera's opinion that counts. You know, Miguel Herrera is known to make the controversial decision, and you know, I can very well see Herrera including Vela in his squad to go to Brazil, as I can see him leaving him out, because I know Herrera prioritizes the group, the harmony of the dressing room, over anything else. So, in both aspects, I mean, for me personally, I'd say bring him along. He's very talented, but at the end of the day, you know, Piojo Herrera has a way of managing that's very unorthodox. You know, it's not very normal to what the rest of the managers in Mexico do. So, you know, it's up to Herrera to surprise us either way, yes or no.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, I've said it before, I don't think Mexico can necessarily, I mean, they'd really, really love to have him because he's that good, you know what I mean? But I think it's also, like you're saying there, just like getting the atmosphere right in the group. It's just so massive in a World Cup, you know, when the players away from home for a long time, you know, getting that balance in the squad between not just on the field, but personalities off it as well is so key. Naib, I mean, kind of on the same theme with, you know, Mexicans in Europe. I mean, it's got to be a bit worrying, has it not, you know, that players like Diego Reyes, who, you know, for most of 2013, you know, we thought this is a player who's now going to step up and he's going to make the one of the centre-back positions his own with the national team. It's got to be worrying that he's not playing hardly at all for Porto, well, at least in the first division side. You know, it's got to be worrying Hector Herrera that at the minute, you know, he's not a starter. You know, he's getting a few more minutes, but you know, it's still not there. Chicharito in Manchester United, it just seems he's a now fourth choice centre forward. You know, even Guardado not inked in as a starter. You know what I mean? I mean, is it a real worry that you know, come the summer, that Mexico and Herrera, Miguel Herrera, will have to rely on players who you know aren't necessarily playing week in week out? Or can you see the situation changing in the new year? And Jesus Corona as well.
Yeah, I think Tom, with Piojo, based on his gutsy decision that he made, you know, in the playoff against New Zealand, you know, we see this trend that he put a lot of confidence and trust in Liga Bancomer MX players. Does this mean that he will sort of leave out European-based players? I'm not saying that he's going to leave out all of them, but I think that his main focus is to have a good base of Liga Bancomer MX players and count with players that are actually playing each week and are fundamental in their team. And Carlos Vela is fundamental in Real Sociedad, and I think will be beneficial for for Piojo's national team. Another player that is playing consistent minutes and is important in its in his club is Giovanni, Aquino, Moreno, Ochoa. The names that you mentioned in the beginning, Diego Reyes, you know, it's tough for Diego Reyes to play because in Porto there's, you know, three central defenders like Maicon, Mangala, and Otamendi that are sensational. I mean, I think, you know, for Diego Reyes to have that sort of institution or school to learn from will be great in his career. And what I've noticed is that Diego Reyes has used the Mexican media when he was in Mexico for the holidays as saying, you know, I want minutes. I want minutes. And I know that, you know, Diego Reyes is one of the most competitive players that have come out of Mexican soccer in the last years. And it's been proven because he was really important in that obtention of the gold medal in 2012. So for example, right now in Reyes' case, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets loaned to like a team in Portugal or Spain or a team in those two leagues so he can get minutes. Because I think Reyes knows that he has a shot to be in the World Cup because Piojo knows him, because he understands well how Piojo plays. And I wouldn't be surprised with that. With Guardado, I think it will be really important to see in the upcoming weeks what the new coach, Juan Antonio Pizzi, thinks about him. If Pizzi thinks of Guardado as an offensive asset, then it could benefit Guardado in the long run. Because I think Guardado is lost in that confusion as to, am I a left back or am I a left midfielder like I was in Atlas? And I think that is sort of messing up his game. And now I think with BC, maybe there's a possibility that he can just focus on the attack and that will be fundamental for him. But in general sense, I think I see a Piojo national team that is more Liga Bancomer MX players than with, I would say, four, five, or six players playing in Europe.
Yeah, no, it's, it's actually pretty interesting. I mean, Miguel Layún was saying the other day that, you know, there has been rumours and possibly a bit of interest from Europe. You know, he's played there before. He's got a European passport, a Spanish passport, so, you know, it's a lot easier for someone like him to go. It's quite pretty interesting reading his comments that, you know, he doesn't want to risk going to Europe now this January because, you know, because obviously the World Cup's coming, he don't want to change things around and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just interesting to see the perspective of the players, you know what I mean, where, you know, usually bit of interest from Europe and it's like, you know, players really, really want to go. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it develops with the European-based players. And for me, I think it's just vital that as many of those are hitting form as possible because, you know, someone like Guardado, one of the few players there who's actually, you know, in his prime, you know what I mean, and he has, and with real experience, not just in Europe, but also in two World Cups. So someone like him, I just think, is vital in the experience side of it as well.
And I think, Tom, we also, I forgot to mention Chicharito, and I think Chicharito is a topic that I think our listeners will want to hear a little bit more about. Because, I mean, Mexico doesn't have that much strikers. I think you see Peralta, and you think Peralta and Peralta over and over again, but what happens if Peralta gets hurt? Your second option is Chicharito. And as we have seen from Boxing Day up to New Year's Day, I mean, he has played, which is fundamental, but he comes out of the bench. And you see now that Robin Van Persie is hurt in Manchester United, but he's not used from the start. And today in The Guardian and in The Mirror of England, I mean, the name gets attached to a possible loan to or a possible sale to a team like Arsenal. You know, I think what with Chicharito, it's hard to understand because you see Manchester United right now in this transition that is going through with Moyes, and I just don't see it, you know, probable for Chicharito to leave unless something comes to Manchester United, a new player or two players. The team is really short, in my opinion, with talent.
Yeah. No, it's a difficult one with Chicharito as well, isn't it? I mean, it's getting to the point almost now where it is like, you know, a bit, for him at least, it would be definitely beneficial for him to leave if he was guaranteed minutes. But at the same time, you know, obviously he's got a contract with United, and I'm sure I don't see no reason why United would ever, you know, would want to get rid of him, just because he's just off the field as well. He's such a positive person, you know what I mean? And, you know, he doesn't seem to complain too much about being on the bench, so it's difficult to find those kind of players. Johnny, what about the, you know, the World Cup draw? You know, the teams that Mexico are, you know, are playing against, you know, obviously Brazil, Croatia, Cameroon, you know, where the games are situated. You know, Mexico don't have, you know, too far to travel between the three cities there. I mean, is it a group Mexico can get out of? Do you think they will? And finally, what do you think would be a good result for Mexico in the World Cup this year?
Well, I think the group is, you know, that not the best, but definitely not the worst. I mean, we could be in the United States shoes, which that would be worse.
But who the States got again? Who the U.S.
the
got?
United States, Germany, Ghana, and Portugal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, bit of a nightmare, that, isn't it?
It's a nightmare.
It's pretty ironic. Yeah. I always find it ironic that, you know, Mexico just sneaked through, you know, and the U.S. were pretty dominant, really, in qualifying. And, you know, the U.S. have got, you know, like you said, Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and you know, Mexico have got a group that, well, I don't know, see what you think, but I think it can definitely get out with a couple of good games.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see this Mexico and Brazil finishing on 7 points. You know, Cameroon have one big star, which is Samuel Eto'o, which he's not doing very well at the moment at Chelsea, and he's not getting any younger. Other than that, there's no big names that come out to mind when you say Cameroon and Croatia. Croatia just lost their captain for a Nazi salute, or, you know, something Nazi related, you know, after his team qualified. So I can't remember exactly if it was an actual Nazi salute or, you know, some kind of propaganda celebration that had to do with, you know, the Nazis in Croatia. So, you know, FIFA has put a 10-match ban on Croatia's captain, so he'll miss the entire World Cup. So that, you know, yeah. I think Mexico have, you know, everything to get out of that group with 7 points. It's going to be, the match against Brazil is going to be the toughest, because I think Brazil has learned to take Mexico seriously, which, you know, in previous years, they wouldn't take Mexico so seriously, and Mexico could end up beating them. You know, example, the Olympic Games. So,
yeah.
I think Mexico's biggest challenge is going to be in the second round, because you look at Group B, and you got Spain and Holland and Chile there.
Yeah.
If Mexico could somehow end up facing Chile in the next round, they'll have the, you know, the biggest possibilities of making the quarterfinals, but, you know, I don't see many chances with Spain or Holland. So, you know, I think it's going to be just another standard World Cup for Mexico. if it's just going to be another standard participation, I'm pretty upset over sacrificing America's back-to-back championship season for it.
And Naib, like, considering 2013, you know, considering that Mexico struggled at home to Jamaica, you know, to Honduras, to Panama, to the countries of, you know, that standard, you know, with full respect to them, you know, they came and did the job, but, you know, you know, they're not the same standard as, you know, Spain and Netherlands. I mean, do you think it'd be you know, would you be upset if Mexico could only get out of the group and it was a repeat of, you know, the last, what is it, 6 World Cups where Mexico have got out of the group only to go out at the first stage?
No, I don't know. I don't know if the word is upset, Tom. I think you know, it was a miracle that Mexico's in the World Cup, I think. You know, it's one of those miracles that are hard to explain or hard to digest because of the matter that it was done. Because if it wasn't for the U.S.'s pride to, you know, finish on top and win in Panama, you know, Mexico wouldn't be in this scenario that, you know, it is in now. you know, I think whatever, you know, the bar was set high after the gold medal in London 2012 because, you know, it sort of changed that sort of
expectation
because there was youth talent there. And, you know, because I wrote a piece a couple of days ago about, you know, understanding how sort of the transition that occurred after 2005 and the FIFA Confederations Cup with Ricardo Antonio La Volpe and how the interpretation of the Mexican player was viewed from this side of the world, from this part of the world, in Europe specifically, and how that sort of persuaded more teams to get Mexican players to come to Europe. You know, I think this is the World Cup that, in my opinion, there has to be something different compared to the rest, because there's talented players like Vela, Giovanni, Chicharito that just came about, Peralta, Rafa Márquez that is mature and that, you know, accomplished something out of scratch, like winning the championship with León, you know, when he was criticized for, like, going back, you know, coming to the New York Red Bulls and it was all bad, and then going to León. You know, saying that it was a small team and so forth, but now León, you know where it's at. It's a sort of example of Liga Bancomer MX football at the moment. You know, so I think that I do believe that there's a possibility to surpass the expectations from other World Cups in this one. And I don't care what opponent it is or whatsoever. I think the Mexican player, when you sort of mentalize them, and when there's a unity, like it was in 2012, you know, a player like, for example, Marco Fabian, that has been going on through craziness in the last months, was able to focus and play because there was a union team in London. Stuff happened. And I think Piojo knows that really well because he repeats it every time he talks. And I do see them, you know, I think it is a year that they can pull it off, you know, if everything comes together.
Yeah. I'm much more negative, me. I think that, I don't know, I think just getting out of the group would be a really good achievement. I really do. Just considering the way qualifying's gone and, you know, Herrera doesn't have much international experience. I don't know. I think they can get out of the group. I think if they make the quarterfinal, it'll be equivalent of like winning the World Cup for Mexico. I mean, I don't know. I think there's too much expectation on I don't know. I just think getting out of the group would be very good. And I think getting to the quarterfinal would be absolutely amazing for the Mexican team because, you know, I think there's a very strong World Cup, and I think quite probably stronger than the last few editions. So, you know, I think it's going to be difficult, but I think they might scrape through like they always do, like Johnny was saying, as the standard one. But I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. You know what I mean? It's like since '94, obviously Mexico got to the round of 16. Only two nations have done that. You know what I mean? So it's like is the glass half empty or half full with Mexico? On one hand, they've never got past the round of 16. But on the other hand, they always get there, and it's only Germany and Brazil who can say the same thing. So it's always difficult to kind of judge it, isn't it? Really, I think Vela's important. Getting Vela there and on is really important, and I think getting the big European names, you know, firing on all cylinders is also going to be really vital. But yeah, you know,
You never know, Tom. And I think Johnny said something important in the beginning that I think it's the key of the success for Piojo Herrera in this 2014 is to find harmony in the Mexican national team. I didn't see any harmony in 2013 with the team until Piojo came and they played the New Zealand match. And it was all Liga Bancomer MX players, and the base was León and Club America. I think that is key. You know, and that's where the Vela controversy or whatever, the Vela saga, is a little bit difficult, because there could be those players that are going to be, well, this dude didn't play the tough matches. You know, if Piojo is able to put his mark as a coach and say, you know, Vela can give us these capabilities because so-and-so, and explain it to the players, and there's a total compromise, then we can talk about something that can be special. But you never know. I think on the paper it looks easy: Cameroon, Croatia, and Brazil, the host. But Mexico has to go game by game and see what happens in each one.
Mm. Yeah, all right. Should be fun, though, whatever happens. Moving on to the Liga MX starting this weekend. We're not going to go for a full preview. We're probably going to save that till next week once we've had a look at each of the teams and see how they're laying out. But, in a more general sense, who do we think are the contenders for the title, the strongest teams in this tournament?
I want to say... Johnny.
No, that's going to sound a little biased, but I'm going to say it's going to be America. It's going to be top contenders for the title. I'm going to right away dismiss Leon because no team in Mexico has ever won the championship while at the same time participating in Copa Libertadores. I mean, even if Leon were to, put in their best players in Liga MX and kind of forget about Libertadores, which they will not do, just the travels to South America is going to kill them, and it's going to kill their chances of going back-to-back championships. So, I'm going to say America is top contenders. They're not even playing the Copa MX, so they're the only team playing only one tournament. Other contenders I'm going to say is Morelia and maybe even Cruz Azul.
Mm. What about this new striker for America, Johnny? Was he Rios?
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard much of him. I haven't followed his career. Long gone are the days that America would sign, the big names coming out of Europe, big international stars, but... Ricardo Peláez seems to know what he's doing. He did it well with Herrera. Now I think they're trying to continue along the same lines with Mohamed. So, you can only hope for the best from an unknown player. Players like Andrés Andrade, I think, still have a lot to give. He had his one season to kind of get used to Mexico. Now, we're fully expecting a player like him to, really show that quality and why he was signed. So. I fear that the new striker is going to probably need as well a season to get used to Mexico, and we're going to rely on Raúl Jiménez and Luis Gabriel Rey for another tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the only worry for America, that striker. I mean, I don't think they replaced Benitez. I mean, I think they would have won the title quite easily with Benitez last time out. But,
As long as he's not another Mina, I think Rios, Rios comes as an Argentinian that was... he came out from River Plate and now he was playing in the Ecuadorian League, but he has great numbers in the Ecuadorian League. Mina had also great numbers in the Ecuadorian League. I think that's the focus with Mohamed. We know what Mohamed can do. We saw what incredible run he had in Cholos. He was just one penalty away from eliminating Atlético Mineiro, the eventual Libertadores champions. I think he's a man, right pick for America. And like Johnny said, they will only just focus on one league, so of course America has to be up there. And I think Cruz Azul with Luis Fernando Tena, the moves that he has done, I'm one that believes that Marco Fabián is going to have a good season. Maybe a lot of people might say Naive is crazy, but I think Marco in Ciudad de México with Tena, the last coach that made Fabián play just football and focus on football was Tena. So I'm going with that, and I think with Chaco Jiménez, one last little run in his career, and I think they have a good shot this year.
Yeah, I like Cruz Azul. I like that move by Fabián as well. I think in Guadalajara, there was just the atmosphere around him, was just so negative. And I think, obviously the atmosphere of the club's pretty negative as well, just because Chivas had been so poor. In 2013, they only got more points than Atlante you know, and I mean, relegation form. But I think Fabian leaving, I think it really could spark him into life. And yeah, I honestly wouldn't put a World Cup spot in the squad past Fabian, because you know, we all know that when he hits form, there are very few Mexican players that can match him. But yeah, I think Cruz Azul as well could have a good season, but it's just that making that final hurdle and actually winning the championship that always seems to be a struggle for him, psychologically, I think, more than anything. Other teams, I mean, I agree totally with Johnny then, León, and I think with Matosas, from being from Uruguay, he's on record as stating he wants to go to Europe to be a manager, so I think he's really going to concentrate on the Copa Libertadores, and I think Leon's going to suffer in the league because of that. And I think, I like Morelia, but again, it's the same thing with the Libertadores. But I think for me, if I'm going to make a prediction, I think they're going to be the most exciting team to watch this year, because you look at the Leao, Jefferson Montero, if he doesn't leave for Europe, who else is there on the left?
You got Duvier Riascos coming in.
Duvier Riascos and then Héctor Mancillo up front. You know, attacking-wise, for me, that's the best attacking unit in the league. I mean, I just think it's going to be really exciting to watch. But then at the other end, you've got Wiki and Héctor Reynoso as the centre-backs. So, you know, equally, I think they're going to be fun to watch at the back as well.
And they got Ejiri Arevalo in the midfield. I mean, Arevalo is a soldier. You know, I think that Garra Charrua. And then Ejiri Arevalo, I think, you know, they're still gas in the tank for the World Cup, definitely. So I think it's a big investment from Tebasteca, because, you know, the same has happening with Atlas. So both Tebasteca teams look really charged up for this season.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think, yeah, for me, Morelia, team to watch this year. America, yeah, I think I put them as favourites. Just I think Mohamed's going to, I don't know, he could potentially improve him. I think he's it's going to work out really well. Pumas, I think, will do a lot better just because...
How scary is that for America to improve?
What's that?
How scary is that for the rest of the league to have an improved America?
I mean, I think they can. I think if the new striker's good, I mean, I thought that was a bit of a weakness last time, although there's nothing wrong with Luis Gabriel Rey. But I thought at the end they did need someone, and that's why in the second leg of the final he played Mina. And I thought it was a bit unfair, the criticism he got, because he hadn't played much, you know, and he missed the chances. But you've got to be in the rhythm to you know, the playing, getting minutes behind you to be on, you know, that, to hit your peak. So I don't know. So I think if that new striker comes in and does well, I think it's America's league, really. Cruz Azul, Monterrey. I don't know what's going on with Monterrey. I don't know what's up with the fans. They're always bloody protesting. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't get it, though, because they pay a lot of money for the players. They've got a really good team. And I know they haven't got it together, but I don't know. For me, it's like same with Tigres. It's only a matter of time between one of those two, teams up there in Monterrey actually, you know, get it right and go on a really strong championship run. Tijuana, Johnny, you like Tijuana this season? Cesar Farias, seems like he's going to be a lot of fun from the media side.
You know, yeah, Tijuana are a big question mark, actually, this season for me. Cesar Farias is a young Venezuelan manager. He's been with the Venezuelan national team for the past 5 years, and he's actually put him on the soccer map, you know, making the semifinals of a Copa America. And, he was only 2 points away from that playoff spot that Uruguay got for the World Cup. So he has really put Venezuela on the map when, you know, that country is mostly considered a baseball country. So he's done a fantastic job there, but, you know, he's coming into the Mexican League, which, you know, he knows nothing about. So that's a big question mark, is he going to be able to adapt to the Mexican League, you know, fast enough to have Tijuana, you know, fighting for something. And the goals are very clear, you know, the directors at Tijuana are very clear on the goals they want this season. They want to once again make the playoffs. They won the two tournaments in 2013 without reaching the playoffs, and they want a deep run in the CONCACAF Champions League, possibly even winning it. They consider that if they can get past the Los Angeles Galaxy in the quarterfinals, that, you know, winning the competition would not be out of their reach. considering the rest of the opponents left in the competition. So that's going to be a very interesting way of, you know, balancing out for Tijuana and their CONCACAF Champions League, the fact that they don't have to travel in the, yeah, the first round that long. You know, it's a two-hour drive from Tijuana to Los Angeles. That's going to really help them. And the fact that it doesn't start until March, you know, they're going to have, well, practically half of the season to focus on just the league. So yeah, I expect Tijuana to be fighting for the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to really make a deep run once in the playoffs, but that's what I think you can expect from the Cholos.
Yeah, good stuff. Santos up there. I mean, shout out if you disagree with any of these. Santos, I think, are going to be up there. Toluca can be a bit hit and miss. Usually have one good season, one bad one, but I expect them to be up there. I like Gardoso a lot as manager. Pachuca, I think we've got to expect them to improve a bit and maybe be on the fringe of the playoffs. Jaguares, Chiapas, don't know. I think they might struggle. Veracruz as well, I think they might struggle. Possibly, depending on Atlante, who I also think will struggle. But very potentially, yeah, I think they could be down there again.
Yeah, with Santos, it will be interesting to continue seeing, you know, what you know, Caixinha just seems to be just on that line close to reaching a final, and let's see if it can happen this time with a team that, you know, keeps doing progress with the youth players. And I think that would be interesting to see, because now they sold Estrada, no? Guti Estrada is now in Tigres, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that means that a young player is going to have that spot. I don't know if that could be, right now the names don't come to mind, but I'm pretty sure a youth player, because Abella took over. And
got Alanis over there on the right back spot, who's good. He's a very good player. So yeah, no, I think Santos is going to be up there. Cruz has always said, be strong. Atlas, I think, are going to struggle. I think they'll be better than last season, but I still think they're going to struggle. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good teams now in the league. I'm just having a look at a list now, and I think there's a lot of strong teams. I think Querétaro, you know, there's nothing wrong with the squad they've assembled there. You know, obviously they did well last season, and I think they'll be up mid table-ish. You know what I mean? Puebla, I think they might struggle. Traditionally struggled over the last few years. It's been quite a while now since Puebla made the playoffs. Atlante, I mean, let's quickly, the relegation situation. Does anybody see Atlante surviving?
I don't. I mean, the whole project is a mess right now. So I think, what's his name? Larribey, who played for a season in Atlante, now is in Rayo Vallecano over here in Madrid, and he said that, you know, the sort of directing is a mess there. So I think, you know, that sort of is a sign, you know, of what the situation is there. I mean, for Chivas, that's lucky to have a team like Atlante that is a hot mess, because, you know, right now Chivas doesn't give that, you know, confidence that it once gave.
The only way Atlante survive is if Veracruz has a worse season, because Veracruz percentage goes up and down so much with each game, because this is barely their first year in first division. So only Veracruz can basically save Atlante at this point.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think that, and I think Veracruz are also going to struggle. I just think that you know, Atlante, you know, just aren't necessarily good enough. And to bring, what is it, 9 points? They've got to make up. Is that right? On somebody?
Yeah, I think
around that.
Well, it depends a lot on what Veracruz do in the first few games of the season, because with one loss, Veracruz jumps, you know, all the way down, or with one win, they jump all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, but you know, I can't see anybody apart from Atlante going down. I really can't. But you know, who knows? You never know. And it only takes, like you said there, Johnny, it only takes a couple of results each way in the first, you know, four or five matches of the season. Suddenly, the pressure's on elsewhere. You know, so it's something to look out for. Yeah, definitely. Who else? Chivas. We're going to mention Chivas. Massive changes once again over at Chivas. Different manager coming in. José Luis Uriel. Almost slipped my mind his name there, but just because every time we speak, it's like Chivas got a new manager. I think it's the fourth in... became the fourth manager of 2013 at Chivas. But change, Dennis Duclos is out, and Herrero has come in as the sporting president. Paco Palencia's now the... get a bit mixed up with the names here, but I think he's the sporting director. We're going to see how that works out with Chivas. New signings coming in. I like the new signings. Pereira, Gerardo Rodriguez, I think are both going to help. I think they're solid, if not spectacular. But, and I think Chivas are going to do a bit better. But, you know, you just look at the names of the Chivas team and you put them next to Cruz Azul, you know, or even Monterrey. You know what I mean? And I just think Chivas aren't just not, they're just not good enough right now. You know what I mean? I think up front they are, but I think elsewhere in the squad, they're not quite good enough. They really need Chadon to step up. You know, they really need some of the homegrown players to really step out and you know, make the mark. And I think that's going to be the key for Chivas, but... You know, I can't see them getting in the playoffs this time round. I mean, I don't know. Do any of you disagree with that before moving on?
I don't know. What do you think, Johnny?
I think they won't make the playoffs, but they'll be there fighting for the playoffs. I think they'll fall just short. And I think most of the improvement is going to come from one guy, and that guy's Omar Bravo. Omar Bravo is that type of player that, kind of on his own will, on his own pride, he could push a team forward to be better. So that, you know, it's that type of character that Chivas needs more of. I just don't think that Omar Bravo alone is going to be able to push him into the playoffs. But he'll have him somewhere close.
Yeah. I think, first of all, the start of the season is key for Chivas. You know, the atmosphere around the club, like just mentioned, has been so low. You know, there's just been such like a, you know, bad vibe around for the whole of 2013. I think it's really important that the first five games, Chivas put points on the board and get some confidence. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot of it's about confidence. And the players have had no, you know, they've really suffered from a lack of confidence recently. I think the other thing, Omar Bravo, that I just wanted to mention, there's a great video on YouTube where it's Omar Bravo training. And it shows it like a 5-minute period and it's edited. But, you know, first of all, he goes in on Giovanni Hernandez, like injures him. Then he's like, starts screaming at another player and, like, you know, really going in hard on the players and scouting and talking to the young players and saying, no, you got to do this. But, like, really taking it seriously. And it's, you know, I think, you know, that's what he brings, Omar Bravo. He's not scared. I mean, when he was at Atlas, he would go up against Kufri. You know, Kufri's a big, hard man, you know what I mean? And he'd, you know, have a little scrap with him in training and, you know, and they forget about it afterwards. But, yeah, I think Bravo can have an impact. I don't know.
And has a new captain been announced? Will it be Omar Bravo, the captain?
Pretty sure it's Omar Bravo. He's been captaining in the preseason. I've not got an official announcement, but it all points to Bravo being the captain.
I think what you just mentioned, I think that is key, especially with a lot of young talent like Fierro, you said Giovanni Hernandez, you know, Chatón is still in that area. I think this Chivas will be more competitive than other seasons. I think there will be more, you know, I think there will be more push, more, you know, because there was this sense that once Chivas was down on the score that, you know, sort of that the game was over. And I think now... With this mixture and this, you know, return of Omar Bravo as one, you know, Bravo, one of the top scorers in the history of the team, you know, I think that should give it a little bit of push. And of course, the last time Chivas played great soccer, the coach was El Güero Real. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of hope there for Chivas fans.
Yeah. Right. Moving on. Copa Libertadores. I'm going to go make a bold prediction. You can never know with Mexican teams in the Copa Libertadores. But I'm going to go and say that I think a couple of the teams of... in fact, all three of the Mexican teams this time have got a good chance of going deep into the competition. Because All three have got South American managers. All three are going to take it very seriously. And all three are really well-organized, structured teams that probably...
Quick correction, though, Tom. Pedro Caixinha is not South American. He's European.
Yeah, he is. So, but, you know, with what I'm saying is he's got that mentality where the Copa is going to be really important to him. And it's important for someone like Caixinha to actually to establish his name as well, you know, as well as the other two managers, to potentially go to Europe to be coached. So, that's my...
The travel for Santos, though, that's probably going to kill him more so than León and Morelia. Because they're all the way up north in Mexico, so their travel is going to be more intense than the others.
And I think it's key also, I think Matos has mentioned it. I mean, in Libertadores, home field advantage is primordial. You know, I think a Mexican club cannot be that reluctant of giving points away in Mexico. I think, you know, every time León plays in León or Santos plays in San Morelia, plays in Morelia, they have to get the 3 points. I mean, a win is important in this stage, in the group stage. If all the Mexican teams win their games at home and tie maybe once in South America, you know, they're probably in the next round. I think that will be key. And I mean, if we remember, we go back to the Cruz Azul Boca Juniors final. That final that sort of it was crazy. Now I think it was it cost the Cruz Azul not to win in Mexico, and giving that tie to Boca. And I think you know, you see how it works and the perks of the game. You know, I think there's a good shot. I mean, if Cholos went all the way last edition, you know, playing a football that was more tactical, more and more the sort of defensive in some occasions, and playing on the counter, you know, I think there's a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, Rafa Márquez at León, you know, Carlos Peña as well. Really looking forward to seeing how they do. I think Santos Laguna or Ibe Peralta can be massive in the Libertadores, and Morelia we've already talked about in this podcast with the, you know, striking talent that they've got. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be... I can't wait for it, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to the competition. CONCACAF Champions League as well. That's, you know, Mexican teams have just dominated. But, you know, obviously the MLS strengthening all the time and getting closer and closer. And, you know, the ties between the two are just so much more competitive. And, you know, the real... I mean, for someone like me who's not from around here, like Los Angeles Galaxy are just such the biggest... brand in MLS, you know what I mean? I mean, everyone knows them, even in England. So, for Tijuana to go up there, I think it's going to be, and you know, considering the geography and you know the way players have moved, a couple of players have moved down from LA to Tijuana, and the Hercules Gomez factor, who, you know, really made his name for the Galaxy, and now going back up there with Tijuana. I mean, how do we see the CONCACAF Champions League, especially the you know. Igor MX MLS rivalry.
Yeah, you know, like most competitions, it's set up to a way where they want the Liga MX teams and the MLS teams to face each other in the final stages. But you know, some key losses here and there during the group stage for some MLS teams, like the Galaxy on the last round of group play, really kind of messed with the CONCACAF schedule or calendar or tournament tree, and now as a result, all the remaining three Liga MX teams, Cholos, Cruz Azul, and Toluca, will be facing the remaining three MLS sides, which are Galaxy, San Jose Earthquakes, and Houston Dynamo. And honestly, the most even affair is, you know, Tijuana, Los Angeles. The other two, the two Mexican teams are heavy favorites above the MLS sides. But I still think that between Tijuana and Los Angeles, the edge has to go to Tijuana just on the fact that they're going to be 3 months into the season while LA Galaxy are still going to be in their preseason. So they're going to be in a lot better rhythm. They're going to have experienced players like Hercules Gomez that has been there. They're going to have, you know, explosive talent like Benedetto, who is, you know, keen on improving on his debut season in Mexico. So I still give the edge to Tijuana on this one.
Yeah, therefore. And Naeed, what do you reckon?
You know, I think based on what we've seen in the last years, you know, I want a club that wins this title and does a good job in the FIFA Club World Cup, because, I mean, Monterrey, you know, messed it up again. And, I mean, Monterrey has gone several times already. And, at least, you know, maybe the coach or, I don't know, the administration, but something's wrong there, the players. I want to see a team compete. I mean, I just don't see it comprehensible that a team with all the money, a lot of teams in Mexico have a lot of money, you know, and they have more money than the clubs they play against in this tournament, you know, the team from Asia or Africa that have less, and they don't show, you know, that the Mexican football is advanced in certain ways. You know, I think... I'm not respect to the MLS teams, but by the looks of it, it will be a Mexican club winning this thing again. But hopefully this team has the mentality of doing big things in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah. So, yeah, LA Galaxy against Tijuana, and we've got Sporting KC against Cruz Azul and San Jose Earthquakes against Toluca. So those are the three ties. Right. Brings it to an end. Good talking, getting it all out of the system before the real games begin this weekend in the Liga MX. And, you know, a massive year, I think, for Mexican football in general kicks off. And, you know, really try and wash away the ghosts of 2013, which was, especially at national team level, pretty awful. Anything else to add there? Any predictions you want to throw out?
No, I think... We'll see more. I think at the end of the, you know, around after the World Cup, we'll see more Mexican players making a jump to Europe. I'm hoping one of those players is Guli Peña. You know, I think there's a lot of potential in that player, and I hope that he has a great 2014. And Guli Peña will probably arrive to a good club in Europe.
Good stuff, Johnny. Any wild predictions?
I think León makes it to semifinals of Copa Libertadores.
León, semifinal of Copa Libertadores.
Yeah.
Mm, good stuff. I'm going for Alan Pulido to be in the Mexican World Cup squad.
Whoa!
that's a big one.
Craziness.
It could happen, if you think about it, because Tito Villa is not in the team no more. He will get more playing time, that's for sure, with Tuca Ferretti.
There's always one or two players as well who just come from nowhere, and I think he got a good, nice foundation the last season. I think this time, if he scores a few goals, you know, I'd see no reason why he can't get in there. Anyway, that brings it to an end. First show of 2014. Thanks from all of us for joining us, and we'll be back next week after the first round of matches with a full, more detailed preview of the Liga MX season.